Hey.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Hey, it's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm so excited to be here today. This is such a crazy day for me. Before we get started, I actually had road rage for the first time. I'm a new driver, and I had road rage for the first time today. It was really amazing. I didn't know I was capable of it, and now I feel really confident about my driving since I can do that. It involves like trucks. I was yelling at guy. I was on the street with in a three-way yelling battle with two big truck drivers, and I feel good about. I feel empowered. Now that's feminism. So before we get started, I just want to tell you that you should really be giving us some money because this is all free. Can you believe this? Free. And if you give us just a little bit of money, you can continue to get this, which is pretty damn good. I mean, think about how much you pay for like that crappy cable TV shows and all that other stuff and those movies that you waste your money on. They're so not satisfying. So anyway, for the price of a ticket, let me just tell you, okay? So we're doing this thing with Patreon. So you go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, right? And you pledge as little as $1 a month, like $12 a year. I mean, I don't care how poor, what a poor starve. You can't be that poor. No one can. Are you alive? Do you have food on your table? You can afford this. So you should give us $1 a month or even 50 cents if you're really that hard up. I don't think rich people listen to me. I don't know. Maybe they are. Who knows? But anyway, so there's some really great premiums that we're offering right now if you go there and pledge. It's radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. So we have great things planned for 2016, including media education and literacy workshops for local teens, new music showcases for Brooklyn bands, and live broadcasts of local festivals and events. So we give back. Come on, help us out here. Help us out. So while I'm on the bandwagon trying to get you to donate money, I want you to do me, just me personally, a personal favor, okay? So I did this TV pilot where, in my character as a self-proclaimed psychotherapist, I did a TV pilot called Couples Therapy with Dr. Lisa. It's for Brick Television. And if you go to my website, Lisa Levy Industries, you can watch it. And if you watch 5 minutes or more, you would help me out because there's a really good chance that they may order a series where it will be on like re real actual television, not just a webcast. So help me out there. There's only a few more days to watch it and have the numbers count. So please, please, please. Phil, are you listening? Did you only reposted my thing once? I'm trying to talk to my husband through this. Phil, will you repost it? Come on. I know you're busy and everything, but and I know you're still mad at me because Revan's doing the photography and you're sick of me bugging you, but I'm bugging you, I'm bugging everybody. See how it works? All right, enough about that crap. So I have to tell you what is so fortuitous. I have this wonderful, lovely, super talented, gorgeous, smart, I mean, everything. She's the total package. And she's been a long-term, very, I consider her a very close friend, Savannah Spirit. Are you close? Are we, we're like,
Yeah, we're buds.
We're buds,
Yeah,
right? We've
yeah.
been through a lot
We
together.
have. We've seen
We've
a lot
known
of
each other
stuff.
a long time now.
Yeah.
And we've grown, we both have grown. We've
Yeah.
gotten so, we've both grown and we've gotten like really busy. So we don't see each other as
Yeah,
much
but
as
we
we
always run
could.
into each other in the
We
neighborhood.
run into each other. We
Yeah.
both live in Bushwick, but mostly I have my joy of my experience with Savannah Spirit has been a lot through seeing her incredible photographs on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere. I have,
Thank you.
you've seen me put the likes on there, right? I got my eye on you.
Yeah, I got my eye on you too.
So anyway, so Savannah has these amazing, amazing photographs. And what do you refer, like, describe your photography, Savannah? Because I that is not a genre that I'm deep into. So please.
Okay. I feel like sometimes I'm all over the map with it because I love to shoot self-portraits, of course, the selfies, and then landscapes and street and all that stuff, documentary. But really, the self-portraits have sort of taken over the last year and a half of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really huge growing from it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're very erotic?
You can say that, yeah.
I mean, they're extremely – they're not like – they're erotic. I mean, they're not just like – they're beautiful. They are not cheesy on any level. They're erotic. Do you idiots out there know the difference between, like, you know, a porno photo and, like, a beautiful erotic photo? I hope so. And if you don't, then, like, don't even fucking bother listening to me, okay? I don't even want you on the other end of this.
I heard that lighting has to do with, you know, whether it's pornographic or erotic.
Really? Maybe. I don't know. I think that these photographs have a certain kind of connectivity and personal. There's just something very it's hard to even describe what we'll have to have Savannah talk about it, because they are portraits of her, and she can illuminate it in a way that I can't possibly. But just to back up for a minute, the context of this conversation is really, like, strange, don't you think?
It's
like kind of ironic or
it's
weird
scary.
How it worked out. Because I wanted to have Savannah on forever, and she travels a lot. And I was supposed to have this other really interesting performance artist that's, like, pretty well, way more well-known than I am. Have you heard of her? Ann Liv Young?
No, I don't know.
Well,
her.
She's pretty big. She's okay. Pretty big. Yeah, she does very well, and she has a big show on right now. Got great reviews in the New York Times. So she was supposed to be on today, and she had to cancel at the last minute. And then Savannah, at the same time, got in touch with me. So we are so fortunate to have Savannah on today, because I'm actually going through something myself, folks. Mm-hmm. If you haven't. No, if I don't know, maybe I bet you some. You know,
go on your Facebook page.
Go on my. Do you know that I heard that Seth Meyers called?
I saw that
this project out. He actually mentioned it in his monologue on Late Night last night, and I heard from somebody else that Howard Stern was talking about it.
Great, I think it's great.
So it's gotten a lot of play.
But it's amazing how you have to seemingly get naked.
I know. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Because I think if we were in Europe or somewhere else, it wouldn't be an issue.
Right. And that's part of what I hope is funny about it is, like, it's so dumb that I'm naked, because I don't usually get naked.
No, you don't.
And so anyway, it's just me making fun of the Marina Abramović show. The artist is present. And it's called The Artist is Humbly Present. And I will be sitting naked on a toilet. With another toilet so people can join me, which is similar.
Oh, you're gonna have other toilets.
Yeah, just like she did.
Oh, okay. So we can sit in the toilet and look at each other.
That's a whole, yeah, yeah, just like Marina did it. What?
What if I have to pee? What am I going to do?
These are, you know, that's what everybody asks. And I find that hilarious now, because these are toilets, but they are symbols. They are not connected to plumbing.
Yeah.
They are chairs.
Yeah.
The toilets are chairs.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
But they have a bathroom there, so you're in luck. You can pee. You just can't. You can pee in the gallery, but there's a toilet. And I'm not going to be peeing. People want to know. First thing, are you going to pee in the toilet? No, I'm not going to. What do you think? I'm an idiot? What kind of animal do you think I am? I'm going to pee in the fucking toilet. I pee with that has. First of all,
That's not connected.
I'm also hoping, you know, they cost me $100 a pop, and I'm kind of hoping to return them.
Okay.
Maybe somebody will buy them. Do you think?
I don't know. Do you save the receipts?
I lost the receipt. And then Phil's like, how did you lose that, Phil? You know, remember that, Phil? And I was like, oh, that's a good dig. Are you listening to me, Phil? I've got a platform now, so you better watch what you
say
to me.
That's true. She's on a rampage.
Yeah. Anyway, but anyway, just to get back to what the coincidence or the irony is that I'm an artist, performer, artist. I make visual art too, and I don't really have strong feelings about being naked one way or another, but it usually doesn't have – my work is not sexual very, very often. I don't shy away from sex, but it just isn't something that's front and center in my work. And so – but for this, to show like the inverse of being, you know, haughty and condescending to people that were going to sit with you, being naked on the toilet was – to me, clearly the way to go, the most loudest way to symbolize that, right? So that's why I'm naked. I have a reason that I'm naked, but I've gotten like a stupid amount of press for this. And there's a lot of other really great work out there that's a lot more whatever that I'm not, you know, it's just dumb. And dude, I know I was going to get press. Yes. Did I do this to get attention? Not more than anything else I normally do to get attention, which is whatever. But
just you're doing your thing.
Yeah, it seems normal. Does it seem normal to you, Savannah, that I would do this? Like,
no, it doesn't seem normal that you would actually put yourself in a vulnerable position like that. Like,
really?
Just naked. Yeah.
Why? Why do you say that? You know me.
I don't expect it of you.
Really? You don't see me putting myself in a vulnerable.
I do. But this is beyond. And I think it's brave. You know me. It's brave whenever you put yourself in it. But I can't. I like that you're getting all this attention for it.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, I think
thanks.
It's important to actually draw attention to it.
Well, it's weird. It's weird for me because I'm on the inside. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. I don't really. You know, I'm trying to focus on the performance and the whole thing. The attention part is weird, but what I thought was interesting is that I'm somebody who's going through getting all this attention right now just for being naked, and it's not like in a very sexy way. It's in a non-sexy way, and it's something that I know nothing about, really, being naked in public, very little. And Savannah, is your work is so much like the antithesis, where you are presenting yourself in just such a beautiful and erotic way, and in a, like, I think, serious way, because the work is so profoundly moving, I think, and beautiful. Not like happy, not just happy stuff, but like just moving and emotional and connected. So I'm really fascinated to be able to talk to you about your feelings about you putting yourself out there in an erotic way. And most of your photographs, yeah, I mean, you're naked a lot.
Naked a lot, yeah.
Okay, so let's hear what you, tell me what motivated you to make erotic photos, and let's hear about it.
Well,
tell us.
I had been thinking about doing a project for quite some time. You know, I had done Hotter Than July.
Right.
Did the erotic art show.
Right.
And I thought it was
huge success. Yes.
It was a success, but I thought it was about time to kind of put my money where the mouth is, kind of thing, and just do something really in character but not in character, and actually be uncomfortable and it has been at times very uncomfortable to do it. And I think for me, pushing myself in a social way, vulnerable way, has been the most scary. I mean, learning about who I am through these photographs has also been scary, but I think it's the reaction that I get,
mm-hmm.
and I get all sorts of reactions. Mm-hmm. But I'm not doing it for a date.
Are you single now? Do you want to?
Yeah.
Yes. Hard to believe, folks. Hard to believe, but yeah. So how about if we, can you describe like one that sticks out in your mind, like describe the photograph and describe the reaction so we can all understand, like kind of an example we can put in our mind.
Well, I mean, I get all sorts of reactions. One is...
Well, describe the photograph and then describe the reactions.
Well, I
want... That you're thinking. Just one that you're thinking.
Well, I'm thinking about one where I really wanted to do something where it looks like I have a big, giant penis. Mm-hmm. And so I just was eating a banana and I thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, pretend that I want to have a big penis. So I just put it between my legs and there's this really great shot of my dog... looking kind of awkward or interesting
at the banana,
but you know, mm-hmm. I get a lot of comments on stuff.
And are you naked in that?
I am naked.
Yeah. Okay. So you're completely naked.
But I'm also, you know, I'm playing with things like the era that, you know, like I'll think of the '60s, and I want to do something that's kind of more '60s looking, or. I even did a shot where I'm wrapped up in a flag, a U.S. flag, mm-hmm. and I've got a gun next to me. It's not a mm-hmm. real gun. It's a BB gun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a little ace of spades, like playing cards. I'm just mm-hmm. flirting with the idea that, you know, maybe America ain't so great. Or, you know, I'm wrapping myself up naked in this flag because I'm feeling like, I'm being censored and I want to talk about that.
So there's clearly some wit.
There's definite wit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we should get, I'll post, if this is good for you, Savannah, you can send me some of the photos that you just mentioned and I'll put them back on the Facebook page and the,
yeah,
so that people can see them.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be cool. So you guys can come and look at them.
Yeah, and the social aspect of this has been interesting because I do get people interested in dating me, but that's not why I'm doing it.
And right.
So I tend to ignore a lot of comments. Part of me wants to actually, when I finally have a show of this work, which is coming up along with the book.
Oh, when?
Is
it scheduled?
I was going to do it, start it last year, but I had some health issues. So I'm starting it this year. I had to push it.
But you don't have anything scheduled yet?
No, nothing is scheduled.
Hear that, folks?
Not yet.
I've got an idea for you. We'll talk later.
Okay, we'll talk after class.
Yeah, after class.
Yeah. But yeah, I know that I can't remember exactly what I was saying about that, but this is definitely intended to do a show or a book.
Closer.
So, yeah.
Okay. When you say comments and reactions, what are they? You know, you said some people want to date you, obviously.
Yeah, but I also get some reactions from women that are surprisingly like that do believe I'm doing this for attention. And
that whole nudity, you know, that is so crazy, right? So what do they say? I mean, what's the feeling? I want to know. I'm the shrink, right?
Yes.
We want to know how you feel about it. Like what are the comments and how do they make you feel? You are absolutely putting yourself out there. I mean, I know it's photographs and it's not real life, but
right.
I would argue easily that you making erotic photos of yourself is putting yourself taking a lot more risk than me sitting just as a nude person in an unglamorous way.
Well, I feel also that this was an important thing. I wanted women to feel empowered by this.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, that's a big goal for this, is to go, screw it, I don't care, I love my body, I'm happy with my body, I'm comfortable with my body. And that I really for sure wanted to get across. But some women who might feel threatened by that strength, some men too, they go the opposite way.
And what do they say, or how do they make you feel?
Well, it's more like, it's not necessarily like, oh, this is horrible work. It's more like deciding not to be my friend anymore.
People
or
why would like how does that? I can't imagine. I honestly can't. I mean, I don't.
And
can you explain? Can you give us an example of one person that like what they were thinking when they decided not to be your friend?
Well,
don't mention names. I know.
I have a friend that I've known for many years. Since I was almost born, and we and it's a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very uncomfortable with what I was bringing up for him, which I think is very interesting because that's, you know, I never expected him to feel somewhat offended. He's happy with all my other work, but that is the
What specifically do you think he found offensive? What did he say? And what do you think he and like what and what do you what do you think, Ms. Shrink? You being the shrink, you be the shrink.
Yeah,
you tell us what you think was really going on. What did he say? And what happened? And what was real?
He said,
in your mind,
I'm uncomfortable with the way that what this is bringing up for me. I feel very uncomfortable by the issues that you're bringing up. And maybe it's, maybe he's not, maybe because he's gay and it would be weird for, I'm like a sister. Maybe
so he didn't, he didn't, he wasn't like direct about that. Did you have a phone conversation or?
This was in person.
In person?
Yeah.
And did he specify what it was, the feelings or anything like that?
No, he didn't, but I.
Did you ask him? I mean.
No, I didn't.
He didn't want you to ask him or something, probably.
So. I think he just wanted to be judgmental.
Judgmental?
I think that's how I felt, that he was judging me. And so I think for me, doing this work has been actually such a learning lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm learning about how I'm maneuvering in this world amongst my social, my peers, the people that are artists and the people who are non-artists. And I feel that the people, even the artists are uncomfortable, but they might not tell it to your face, but he sure did. And he wanted me to know that it was not cool.
Do you think that's because he has his own feelings about being judged since he's a gay man? He may have gone through something like that himself. And it just, but what's interesting is his ego had it that he blamed you.
He blamed me.
Yeah. So was that hurt? Was that like really hurtful?
It was.
Disappointing, but I'm kind of angry at him. Aren't you angry at him?
I'm angry at him because I feel like I've known this gentleman since 1981. And I feel like, we're adults now, and that we should be dealing with each other on an adult level. And he can choose not to look at my work, but I think for him to be, what I didn't like was that he said it was okay for me to be a protester at Black Lives Matter or on Wall Street, but if he did say to me, why do you have to be the voice of censorship? Well, when you say something like that to me, it makes me want to be even more.
it's motivating, isn't it? It's almost like he just disappointed you. He let you down in general because of the kind of person, his beliefs, and.
Well, my support system was feeling not. I felt like he wasn't being a part of my support system.
Was he genuine before that supportive?
Absolutely.
Oh, so that was just really disappointing. He wasn't the person we thought he was.
No.
Sorry, but isn't that interesting that you found that out?
It's very interesting that I'm finding out a lot about the way that people tell you how they feel about you without. Exactly telling you how they feel.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
So, you know, I see Savannah on Facebook, and I look at her. I'm another woman. This is nothing to do with how I genuinely feel at all, but. Because I don't, you know, Savannah is gorgeous. She's sexy. She owns that. Believe you me. So I'm but that's how I feel. But I'm playing devil's advocate. So I'm looking at Savannah on Facebook and I'm feeling threatened and competitive. I'm a female. I'm single, maybe. I think I'm reasonably attractive. I really wish I got more attention from men. And I look at Savannah and I just think, God, that's like catnip. Guys must love her. Guys must be drooling over her. Why is she doing that? Like, why is she putting herself out there, doesn't she think that guys aren't going to respect her? I mean, that's a stereotypical response, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you say? How do you process that?
Well, for me, I feel like, and this might sound really cheesy, but it's not, and it's really the way I feel. I feel like you have to be just secure in yourself, mm-hmm. and I can't help you with that, mm-hmm. but it's up to you to go and find your own level of confidence and your own mm-hmm. sexiness. I truly believe that we are all beautiful, mm-hmm. and what makes people unattractive is the attitude, and I don't feel that I'm doing anything wrong because I'm not hurting anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm expressing myself the way mm-hmm. that I need to, and I feel mm-hmm. that other people, if they need to express themselves, whether it's a hater mm-hmm. or doing it another way, good for them. They need to express it, but, you know, I think...
So clearly you're able to see that it's their problem, not yours,
yeah.
which is healthy. But I guess it must hurt a little bit all the same, right?
You have to have a thick skin. I think at first it really mm-hmm. hurt. And I think as time has gone on, I've been a little less sensitive about it. But when it's someone who's an old friend,
yeah.
that stings.
Yeah. But but it's actually probably made you a stronger, more fully realized person, I would guess.
I think when you're doing risky, brave work, any artist, male or female, is going to get shit for it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, New York is a tough place.
Mm.
I've had a lot of interesting mm-hmm. Lessons with mm-hmm. other people here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Good ones. They're all good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you learn something.
Growth. We're all about the growth
yes,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't get mad. Like I used to.
Mm.
I think I just realized that, well, that's their thing and it's not what they're into. Okay. But like I said, when it's an old friend who's been supportive for 30
yeah.
years.
No, that's a whole other, that's another
thing.
Ball game.
Yeah.
That's a disappointment in a human being that you trusted. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But, you know, that's the whole thing. I think that when we, like I used to hate my parents, and as I got older, I'm so old, of course they're gone now, but as I got older and now I tried to change that anger into compassion, and I learned through that's actually just better for everybody when you can get there. And you can't get there in a day or a week, but eventually you can get, you have gotten there. You've gotten there in a lot of ways.
In this day and age, especially in the time that we're in now,
mm-hmm.
we have to be empathetic to each other. We have to really reach out and be sensitive to each other's needs and mm-hmm. Be very aware of the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not like trying to get all tree huggy.
No.
But I really believe
But I like
it.
Trees.
Yeah.
Trees are great. Let's hug some trees.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we just need to be a little nicer mm-hmm. to one another. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of consciousness that you must develop through doing this type of work, I'm sure. But let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's another creepy, horrible question that I want to get out in the open.
Okay.
So you're at a bar party and... you know, a friend of a friend, somebody that you know peripherally is there. And he's like, oh, that's Savannah. That's the really hot chick that's always showing her body on Facebook. And I think I'm going to go over and meet her. And then the guy, that's his attitude, and he approaches you and mm-hmm. says something about your photos are really sexy. So that's the first thing out of his mouth. So how do you react to that? Like, what's your feeling for that?
I say thank you. I'm gracious. I mean,
how do you feel? This is Dr. Lisa asking.
Oh,
not how you. Of course, you're the most poised, socially graceful person I know. Of course, you say that.
Well, I feel like if a man, are you saying that, like, if a man wants to date me?
Oh, well, let's say he's like, let's say, I mean, I hope this, I mean, I don't know what guys are like from that point of view, because I don't, I'm not in the same situation you are, obviously. But I'm saying, like, the guy looks at you and he thinks you're hot, and he thinks because you pose yourself naked and you put yourself out, and he thinks, oh, well, I could probably fuck this chick. I'm fabulous. I'm fabulous. I know I'm fabulous. She knows she's fabulous. This is the person that I deserve to fuck. You know how that guy is. You know that guy, right? We all know that guy.
Yeah.
So how do you handle?
I deserve a fuck.
You deserve to fuck, but you deserve to decide. Like, you're not just there waiting for some guy who's like, you're good enough for, you know what I'm saying. So how do you respond to that?
There's a misconception of me because I do this work that I'm this sex addict or something and that I love to fuck. Well, yeah, sure, but with someone I really care about and love, and I'm not easy. So
how would you handle him? Like, would you be direct with him? Would you, I mean, does this happen to you more often than you'd like? I imagine.
Not,
I mean, that's what I would guess. So I want to know because we all want to know.
When I go out, it happens.
What?
In the city, it happens. Not all the time, but it actually happens more on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Where I get a private message.
Mm-hmm.
I the way that I deal with it is that they're all potential friends,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not looking.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the connection with somebody, and so it's got to be with someone that I actually, felt.
So you kind of politely shoo them away, but in a way that there's no hurt feelings for anybody.
Of course, no hurt feelings.
Wow, you're really what's the word? Skillful. I would be like, fuck you, get out of my face.
Well, I'd like to say that sometimes to certain people, but I don't want to say it. I mean, you don't want to burn bridges.
Well, you're also living this life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not a one-time thing. You've got to make your work
I'm
the way you.
Too nice. I'm probably maybe I should kick
no.
balls or something.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm saying, like, the most important thing, we're artists. The most important thing in the world is to make our work. And you want to make the work you want to make. And whatever you do, I always say our work is our children. So however you have to protect, do what you need
you're
to
right.
do to protect your children.
Right.
That's what
they
you're
are,
doing.
Yes,
smart.
Babies,
and
yeah.
you have the grace to do that. See, I couldn't do that kind of work. Because if I got confronted with something like that, I would be like, I wouldn't handle it well. I wouldn't, or I would probably be, the guy would probably think I was like an idiot. I wouldn't handle it I wouldn't want to put myself in that position because I don't feel confident or that's not something I'm really good at handling.
Well, a long time ago, and I would say, and I'm kind of going way back here on this,
mm-hmm.
but I just feel I will always, I do this work and I, to the outside world, I'm this entity doing
mm-hmm.
something.
Right.
But I'm always going to feel like that awkward teen
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
I think that's
so
common.
So I will always feel mm-hmm. like... I'm happy to have the attention. It's always nice to feel that, loved or liked.
Attracted. Or that somebody likes your work.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. It's always, but like, I'm a dork.
Yeah, no, I know. We're all dorks. Actually, I got a criticism from somewhere that somebody called me a dork for doing this, which I love.
Oh, no. I think being a dork is actually a good
so
thing,
great.
You know?
I know. It's a compliment,
but
really.
But I'm not. I enjoy.
I've got a call in from Phil.
Do
you think he knows that we're on the radio?
Maybe. Do you think he's listening?
Let's check this out. I don't know. Phil? Phil?
Yeah, hey, Savannah needs to be closer to the microphone. I'm gonna, yeah.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I love how you're watching out for us.
Okay.
Is that better?
Thanks, Phil. Jesus. We're going to start calling him the producer.
He should be here. Why is he not here?
I can hardly hear Savannah. Oh, he was texting me. I don't know why that is. Why is that? That's weird.
Am I on the wrong mic?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. You are on the wrong mic.
I am?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to switch really quickly.
Oh, no, no. Stay on that one. Stay on that one. Okay. Oh, man, I screwed this up. I totally screwed this up.
What?
You have
what?
No idea because
what?
I had in my head that you were on that mic.
Oh.
But you're on this mic.
So did you have to turn it?
Yes, I turned the wrong mic up and yeah.
Is that better?
Now it's fine.
Better. Okay, all right.
Oh, man, I screwed that up.
But does that mean that no one could hear what we were saying?
I think they could hear it, just not particularly well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's continue. We're, you know what? Technical difficulties. We're good.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Phil could hear it.
Yeah. But for the most part, just to reiterate, whoever didn't hear me, I am gracious when I am approached.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never want to make the person feel bad, ever.
Do you ever get any, is there not a lot of rude comments?
I get more rude comments on Facebook than Instagram.
Do you get a lot or is it just an occasion? Like, are
no,
you, is that
occasional.
Something that affects your life that you're dealing with constantly?
No,
it's just
no.
an occasional thing. That's
no.
good to hear.
It's occasional because I think at this point now people know what I'm doing and they're
oh, that's
much
good.
More aware.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it took a while. And then I think also I had trolls that were friends because I would get censored a lot off Facebook.
So you mean that people would report you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the thing that sucks about social media is you don't know who's reporting you or if it's algorithm. I've heard both.
Mm-hmm.
Who
mm-hmm.
fucking knows anymore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just posted, I'll post this again, but there was some, you know, newspaper article today about how Facebook is making billions and billions of dollars off of us. So.
Well, you know what? I'm a firm believer that karma will have to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, I don't get a good feeling about Zuckerberg.
I don't have a good feeling about him. No,
he
definitely doesn't have a good. I don't think that he's in it for us.
And no.
That's how I feel about a lot of these people in these positions, that they're really just out for themselves. It's like we're all in it together, but we're all in it for ourselves. At the same time, it's really a dichotomy.
I think that what we should do is I think that people, instead of saying Facebook, they should say Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Because I think that's true with a lot of stuff, because these companies are all faceless. And like if you say, you know, I mean, the Coke Industries, at least that has Coke. So, you know, you remember.
Don't even get me started on that.
No, but I mean, like all these industries don't have people attached to them, and we got to start attaching names to them.
Yeah.
So
like,
we got to say Zuckerberg.
Like, I'm going to Zuckerberg you.
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Or, yeah, I'm on Zuckerberg.
I'm on Zuckerberg, and I'm going to.
Yeah. And, like, make a person responsible for all this stuff.
Well, now I'm excited about the fact that you can't really get anyone on the phone anymore.
Yeah.
It's all automated.
Oh, it's horrible.
So now. I've realized, I think everyone should do this now, and I feel like I'm the only one that figured it out, but I'm not. I know I'm not, but shaming companies.
Yeah.
On Yelp.
Oh, yeah.
Totally works.
I know.
Totally works.
Oh, I got to do that. Thank you for making me think of that, because I've got a company I hate. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
But I wanted to know, like, what we didn't really get into your motivation. Do you realize we only have 20 minutes? Can you believe how fast this goes?
I can't believe it, because now I feel bad because no one heard half.
No, I think they can hear it. They're going to have to make a little bit of an effort.
They're
going
to have to turn the fucking volume up.
That's all right.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Exactly.
It's radio free. Look, it's because they haven't fucking donated any money. That's why.
You know what? They're going to get their cable shit shut off.
No, they gotta donate money so we can have, you know. I
awesome
don't know.
Time here
so that I can get you know, the proper training or like I'm just retarded at this.
No, you're great. You're amazing. And oh, I'm having so much fun.
The technology. Yeah.
So,
well, whatever. We'll get it transcripted. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So anyway, but I want to really hear fully, like, what your feelings are about why you're doing this work and how you're feeling about it and how it started and where how you grew. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So it started originally because I was going through a separation and
with my
ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And I had been wrestling with this idea of being labeled something, you know, labeled a wife, labeled a girlfriend, whatever. And so it started by Chic Sauvage is the project name, and Chic Sauvage literally translated in French is the wild shake. So mm-hmm. I was shaking off these labels. And then it also had to do with getting comfortable with my own body and starting to actually love myself.
What kind of labels are you talking about?
Well, mistress, girlfriend, lover, wife.
You mean when you were dating or after that?
Whatever. When I was being an artist, when I was being a whoever, mm-hmm. I was
the roles that you were playing.
The roles, exactly.
That you were being put into.
Exactly. So it started out that way. And then it ended up...
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, I was going to ask you this. It occurred to me, but you don't have to answer it. Were you dating a married man? Don't answer it. Keep going. Just don't answer it. It's just a thought that came in my head, and I shouldn't ask it. And go ahead. I mean, I don't mean to even implicate that. It's just me being like...
I've dated lots of people.
Okay.
So, no, I really actually haven't dated lots of people.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But I've had an enjoyable time.
So you've obviously dated a lot of people. Now, do the people that you date know about the kind of work you do generally or not? Do they know that before they date you or...
But I haven't really gone on a lot of dates.
Mm,
so mm-hmm. one or two or three or four maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm very choosy.
Obviously.
Who I spend time with.
So let's get back to your feelings.
So then I started to really start to feel like I'm getting more comfortable with my body, with myself
mm-hmm.
In this work. Turning the camera around on myself, which I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had muses. I've always had other models that mm-hmm. I've worked with. And I just thought, what if I do it? What if I turn it around? And I also feel like, what if a real woman is showing herself in a fantasy world? What mm-hmm. what if...
In an erotic...
Yeah.
And the erotic and you were doing erotic photography of other women before
yes.
this.
Yes.
Yes. I
so,
think that's
an
important point.
I mean, it's always
point.
A part... Yeah. Eroticism is a part of who I am. And so mm-hmm. it's always going to be in my work sprinkled in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm shooting a fucking landscape, not to be so...
Right.
But I feel like there's a
right.
certain amount of eroticism in that.
Right.
So, and so then I started to get censored and then it shifted.
On Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook mm-hmm. and then, of course, Instagram.
Then what happened?
Then I had to start self-censoring myself, which I don't like. But it's the only way that I'm not going to get kicked off.
Ah.
So I have to, you know, cover the nips. And the vag area, and that's mm-hmm. fine. I don't like doing it, but I'd rather show my work and not get kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
So so then I started to kind of get angry at the mm-hmm. censorship, and mm-hmm. that started to fuel more. So it's really all these different reasons why I've done it. I have a feeling at some point I might stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I've run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. But I like this idea of turning myself from, like, you know, a Cindy Sherman type
mm-hmm.
to something where maybe she wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, that's really interesting because Cindy Sherman kind of is the archetype of that
yes.
type of work. But her work wasn't very – it was – she doesn't have that kind of vulnerability in
No, it's not erotic. It was never
erotic.
No, it was never erotic. But the funny thing is that when I called these selfies, and because selfie is such a word that's actually now has a bad connotation to it, but artists have been doing self-portraits for so many years that to me it's not a new idea at all. Sometimes I just attach selfie as a hashtag because I just want to get more of an audience.
Right.
And so, but I really consider these self-portraits more than selfies.
So what about like your, if I can ask it, well, I've asked everything.
You
sexual
have.
Empowerment. Yes. Like how about, like, how does it make you feel about your sexuality, this journey? Like,
I feel a lot more confident than I did 5 years ago.
About your body,
about
your sexuality?
My body, myself, my my repertoire, what I'm doing, even my work, even my photography. Mm-hmm. I've seen it grow a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we met, I was curating.
Right.
Wasn't even putting myself out there as a photographer at the time, even though I've been a photographer since I can remember. Mm-hmm. So I've actually been... to me, I'm kind of new at this, even though I'm not new at it.
Yeah, right. Know? No, you're clearly, you know, it's funny because there was a time when I only thought of you as a curator.
Yeah.
And now I don't think of you as a curator at all.
Me neither.
Which is really, really interesting.
Well, I think when I was curating, I was afraid to put myself out there.
Yeah, that could. Well, also, there was probably a lot that you wanted to learn. You weren't ready. You needed to get that. You were probably collecting ideas.
I agree.
And inspiration.
It's very true. And everyone that I met along the way that kind of helped me and taught me, it was like grad school in the real world, the real art world.
Sure. Because you worked really hard and made a lot of shit happen,
I
and
did.
You still do.
I pounded the pavement like crazy. And I feel like, well, it's never over. You're constantly having to put yourself you know. And I think that the one thing that's hard for artists is that people think that it's easy. It's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do is be an artist.
Well, putting your work out there, making the work is really, I mean, that can be hard. But the actual act of putting it out in the world is, I think, a huge obstacle. I think there's a lot of people that make great work that just don't want to put their work out there.
No, and that's okay too. I mean, you know, only when you're ready.
But I think there's a lot of bottled up unhappy people because they don't have that in their they're not capable, and they wish, they're frustrated.
Well, I think that's very interesting that you say that, because my friend who was very judgy on me about this work is probably one of the most talented, funny, guaranteed to make me crack up human beings that I know as far as acting is concerned. And he was living in New York, and he, I think, was afraid to really put himself out there. And I think that he saw me and he was mad at me for doing it.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
So I think that it wasn't just the sexual part of what I'm doing. I think it's the actual act of
doing it. Well, now he is an actor?
Yeah, he's a brilliant, funny actor.
So he likes the idea of... And he does like scripted work and stuff like that.
Yeah, he writes all of his own material.
But he likes the idea of it all being controlled before you go out there, and you know what the people are going to say and stuff like that.
Yes.
So you're like saying you don't need to know that.
Exactly.
And also like you getting attention for your physical being is something that probably threatens him if he's an actor.
But you know what? Like I'm working my body in a way that he couldn't or.
Well, it's a different thing.
Yes.
It's a totally different thing.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Tech guy just did something awesome right now.
We missed your first half of your interview.
Oh,
there was,
no.
There was a mic that you have.
No, I do. I did have them on.
You did
have
them on.
And then Phil called to tell me that we couldn't hear her because I thought she was on that one. I thought I told you to be on that one, and then you were on
that
one.
I moved to this one, and then we all got screwed up.
I know I fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
I fucked it up.
Sorry, it's okay.
No, but thank you. I know.
No, but we're good. We're getting the heart of it.
So anyway, see, that's so typical. Oh God. I feel bad. This is what makes me feel bad about myself.
No, don't.
That's all right.
No,
it's all
don't.
Right. It's all right.
I feel like we've been saved, and even though there's like 10 minutes left.
Yeah, no, no. Anyway. Let's move on.
But I really feel like at this point, I'm, you know what? I feel like I'm not doing my job as an artist if I'm not making other people uncomfortable in a way. You know, like, that's important.
Yeah,
I think you need to, like, challenge people.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm not the full responsible person for, you know.
No, exactly, which, you know, probably helps you. But where do you think the inspiration for putting yourself, your sexuality out in your work?
Who is the inspiration or what?
How do you think, like, where did that come from? Where in, like, your childhood, like, you know, did your parents have orgies or
always key parties,
you know, or
no,
I actually met somebody who was the product of a key party.
That's awesome.
An adult. It's pretty awesome.
That's
a really amazing, wonderful human being.
That's
that has
amazing.
Really good relationship with his mom. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well,
but
I,
like, where do you think it comes from?
How
was your sexuality treated when you were growing up?
Very open. My parents gave me the joy of sex when I was little. They wanted me to know about what happens when a boy and girl like each other and, you know, want to consummate that. And so I was taught, you know, I was given that awesome, I think it was Dr. Lovejoy or mm-hmm. something. It's mm-hmm. like the joy of sex, you know, that really mm-hmm. like 70s illustrated with the lots of hair.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big influence growing up. And so I think that I always had that in me. And so and then growing up, having someone like Madonna who is putting herself out there mm-hmm. in that way and saying it's okay to be who you are and express yourself. So having that, and then it just constantly in my mind. And I think once I started to see that I can attract a man, then that's, I think, that was the next step. Let's just have fun.
And when did you find out about attracting a man?
Well, I think when I was using your feminine wiles when you're young.
But you were like as a teenager or?
No, I think in my 20s.
And what was that like? I mean, like, what did you?
Well, I made stupid mistakes.
No, of course. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because that would be that's the perfect time to be making them.
Well, I mean, you know, I always say that I will flirt with your grandmother. I'm a flirt. I'm a flirt, but it's harmless.
Did people get the wrong idea or?
Always.
So you had a lot of guys kind of taking.
But I wasn't a tease, though. I was
uh-huh.
I was just playing and enjoying mm-hmm. and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, of course, when emotions are involved. And then I've met the man I was going to marry, and that kind of halted all that. So,
like, when your marriage started to fall apart, did that sort of make you – did that make you want to investigate your sexuality again?
Yeah.
Or, so
yeah.
What was that – what happened there?
That was more like – me – moving to New York and kind of seeing that I feel like I was sheltered a little bit
when you were married.
Yeah, like in a way. Like,
how old were you when you got married?
26.
Mm, young. And
yeah.
Where are you from?
Originally,
or where were you living when you got married?
Living in Portland, Oregon. When I
so
got
did
married.
That seem like a normal age?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. did. My parents got married when they were 21, so and they're still married. So I feel like, so I felt like I was gonna, you know, be set, and I realized that I just married the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I realized that, it wasn't about finding the right person. It was finding about what I wanted
mm-hmm.
as far as a relationship and my partner. And I've spent a lot of time alone.
Is that a good thing?
Of course. It's yeah. been a really good thing. It's been great, actually, because I love being alone, but yeah. I also like sharing my life with somebody who mm-hmm. gets me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know.
But you're in like no rush.
No, I'm not in a rush, but mm-hmm. I definitely would like to, you know, have.
Eventually have a partner.
Yeah, that would be mm-hmm. really nice. I would really like that.
What was I going to say? Yeah. There was something that I was thinking about. Like, oh, this is the point I was going to make. You know, sometimes, I mean, I think people, this was not my life, but I think mm-hmm. like a lot of times, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I think if your parents have a great marriage, because on one hand, you're the beneficiary of it. But on the other hand, it's also an example that's just like, really hard to duplicate.
So hard to duplicate.
Especially as, like, time, our culture moves forward and, you know, there's dating apps and
yeah.
all sorts of
fucked up. Which, by the way, I went on J-Date for, like, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever again.
Really? Are you Jewish?
I am Jewish. Oh. And my mom was the one that said, why don't you go on J-Date? No.
How about Tinder? Do you do that?
No.
Why not? I'm just curious because it seems like you would be a superstar on Tinder.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to just hook up with somebody though. I feel like that's just a hookup
place. Okay.
And I tried. And I know I haven't tried OkCupid. I have not tried any of those except J-Date for 5 minutes, and it was mm-hmm. a nightmare and gross.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it has to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what I prefer.
So what? I mean, you know, we don't have time to do this. We'll have to do the next session to see if you have any leftover intimacy problems because of you know you
right.
went through a lot with your marriage and stuff like that. But you know, what do you like? Is there any like deciding factor for you if you want to go out with somebody or not, or is there something that is particularly important to you in a guy or?
Well, there's a list.
Seriously?
Not a big list. I mean, he's got to be funny. Mm-hmm. He's got to make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really want someone who's going to be supportive of what mm-hmm. I'm doing, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
you know, preferably another artist,
mm-hmm.
because they understand. The person right, understands, right. you know, and they get the creative and having, mm-hmm. you know, you got to go off and be alone to create
mm-hmm.
and then you come back together.
So do you think like when you were going through your divorce that like there's a lot of, I mean, I felt this way. I didn't get a divorce, but I had to start over at a certain point in my life. I mean, I think it's really hard to get yourself geared up again to know where when you've been off the market to find your space and like how men are going to respond to you and stuff like that. Is that mm-hmm. part of what motivated you?
To do this work? No. I really needed to just do this to get it out of my system, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't mean that I don't have my eye on anybody.
No, I got it.
I definitely, you know, there's mm-hmm. there's one or two. Mm-hmm. But I, for the most part, feel like I was doing this mostly just for me.
Okay, 40 seconds. How can people get to see your work?
Go to savannahspiritphotography.com,
mm-hmm.
S-A-V-A-N-N-A-H, spirit.
And I'll post that on my Facebook page,
yeah,
too.
Photography.com. Or go to my Instagram. I post a lot more on my Instagram, which is just Savannah Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And is that's what you're focused on these days?
Yeah, I'm posting a lot more on there, and then I will. I do eventually post on Facebook. But if you want to see, if you want to kind of keep up with what I'm doing, Instagram's the best way. But check out my website; I do have stuff there too.
Yeah.
Dr. Lisa gives a shit. Dr. Lisa gives a shit. Dr. Lisa gives a shit about.